minds, Lord. Let's take it as a prayer, because I believe that is the main thing that we have to recover. Amen.
Heal my mind, Lord. Heal my mind. May each thought be only of the purest kind. Heal my mind, Lord. Heal my mind. Come take your rightful place and make it thine. Heal my mind, Lord. Heal my mind, Lord. Heal my mind. May it not be only of the purest kind. Heal my mind. Take your rightful place and make it done.
One more time.
Heal my mind, Lord. Heal my mind. May it not be only of the purest kind. Heal my mind, Lord. Heal my mind. Come take your rightful place and make it thine.
Lord, we bring our mind. We bring it as an offering. Lord, we cry out to you this afternoon that we may heal our mind. We pray that our mind will be recovered from the prison that it has been taken into. Pray you might deliver our mind from the grave condition, from the situations that have entombed the mind, that have taken captive our mind, that have taken our mind into the dungeons of darkness. Lord, we plead the blood of Jesus over the reins of the mind, over every high thought, over every rebellious thought, over every, even that which has positioned itself in our mind and demanding worship as God. Even that which we have brought offerings and we have strengthened, we come today to say, oh Lord, heal my mind. Let each thought thereof be of the purest kind. For you say you are giving the blood upon the altar to make an atonement. So we receive this covering, this atonement by the power in the blood. We pray, O God, that every idol, every every sickness, every infirmity, every injury, every devastation in the realms of our mind might be healed today, O God, in the name of Jesus. We pray that our mind will be recovered. We come today to pursue. We come today to overtake. I will come to recover all regarding our mind. And Lord, we plead the blood of Jesus over our mind. In the name of Jesus. That our mind will be fruitful today. That the ministry of your word will be fruitful. And it will bring about the recovery. Of Jesus. So give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. In the name of Jesus. Let every bondage be broken. Let the gates that have these ancient gates that have been closed, may they be opened, O God. And the King of glory may come in, even through this east gate. Blessed be your name. In the name of Jesus. The ministry this afternoon is on the recovery of the mind. It's so basic that I even consider that we should have rearranged the hall so that we would have sat in a circle to take away the official. You know, when we sit like this, it takes on an official, but I really think it should be interactive. I will encourage that we ask questions. What is in my heart to do is to lay a foundation, because we can't, we don't have enough time to go too much. What I want to do is to. To lay down the principles of how to recover the mind and how to recover the soul. The mind is the chief element of the soul. The mind has emotion. The mind has desire. The mind has will. Amen. Amen. We cannot recover what we don't know. You know, so what I have a 4-point approach. So I will encourage you, if you have something to write down, and then if you have questions, you can stop me as I'm talking, or we can say the questions at the end. But I want this to be an interactive session. So the first thing we want to talk about it, an overview of the mind. What is the mind? How does it function? And then we will talk about how to open the mind. Because it's not just to know what is wrong about the mind, but how do you recover the mind? So how do we open the mind? And then I have something written on the, what are the dimensions of the mind? How does the mind function? How does it work? Or put it the other way, how do you work? How do you operate? And then lastly, we'll look at how to strengthen or how to build the mind in the things of God. Amen. First scripture I want to read, just as an appetizer, something to just, I hope it will excite you, Psalm 13. You know, the ministry in the morning, in the night, and then this morning, is a build-up. to what we are looking at. Remember, Brother Kumba yesterday said there are three main words, and I want you to remember that. So the first word is pursue. Second word is overtake. And the third word is what? Recover. And those three ones, they represent the three dimensions of the tabernacle. Pursue means to come into the holy, to outer court. To overtake means to come into the holy place. And then to recover is what? To come into the holiest of all. The reason is that the scriptures say we are not of them who do what? Who draw back, but of those who do what? Who press on to recover all, to the saving of the soul. We want to save the soul, we want to recover all. Amen. Say amen.
Amen.
Okay, so I hope that, well, I'm sure, you know, when Governor came in the morning, he pressed on that and, you know, showed us a different other dimension regarding the church, the woman. When the Bible talks about the woman, you must know every word of God comes, God speaks in dimension, because, you know, if you imagine that the earth is so small compared in the dispensation of God's thing, God's program, God is so big. You know, so when God speaks, it speaks in dimensions, speaks in realms, speaks in depth. So you hear it at whatever at your situation and you know, in your own experience. You know, so when you speak of the woman, as Brother Tukumba was saying the night, you know, they came and they took away the women that were in David's camp, and you know, he was telling us that that represents the soul. You know, and then. If you look at that story from 1 Samuel from 26 down, that story doesn't end in 30, it ends in 31. Okay, and we'll go to 31. You see the whole dimension of what God was, what was being shown. It's a prophetic word that applies to Israel, applies to the church, but more importantly, applies to the soul. So you must see it, because if it doesn't apply to you, then it's history. It doesn't make any meaning. It's, you know, it's not practical. And where we are now, we must be practical. We're looking at things that can help us to overcome. Things that can help us to overcome situation. But let's read Psalm 13. I don't have much time. Psalm 13 says, verse 3, let's read from 1. It says, how long will thou forget me, O God? Forever. How long will thou hide thy face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart? Daily. How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? This is, you know, the governor was speaking about the cry. You know, and I remember Tony saying something that if you really wanted to make money or do those things, you shouldn't be here. This is the place for those who are looking for something more than that. You know, something worthwhile. So if you are not in the condition where you are crying out, but that was the word in the morning, you need to, where we are crying out, then you may not really be in a position to receive. But if you are really like this man, you know, asking God questions, you are looking at your condition, say, God, bring deliverance, then I think we'll be in the position to receive. Verse 3 says, consider and hear me, O Lord, my God. Enlighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Amen. So for me, that's excitement. It says, enlighten my eyes. Amen. Lest I sleep the sleep of death. You know, we have come to a place where the only thing that matters now is light. Amen. That's the only thing that matters now is light. The Bible says, in the evening time there shall be light. I don't know if you understand. You see, because there are two offerings. There is the morning offering and there is the evening offering. The morning offering has been offered. Jesus was offered 9 o'clock in the morning. You know, so, and he was there till 12. At midnight, at noon, the whole place was dark. You know, and there was an earthquake and you know all the things that happened. That's the morning sacrifice. You know, there has to be an evening sacrifice. And that is the sacrifice of the body. Don't you understand? And the evening sacrifice is, you know, when he created, he says it was first evening and then morning. You know, so in the first part of the day, there were wild beasts, you know, all over the place. And by the time the day came, you know, the man had been established on the earth. So right now we are in the twilight. We are going from the sixth day into the seventh day. And the seventh day begins with darkness. I don't know if you understand. You know, 6,000 years have passed upon the earth. And so we are in the seventh dispensation of man upon the earth. And it's going to begin with darkness. And we are seeing that. And that darkness is going to usher in the brightness. It's going to bring light upon the earth. Okay, and the first man that will receive this light has to be you. Has to be in my soul. Don't you understand? You know, so he said he is the true light that lightens every soul. So we're speaking about, I'm concerned about the light in the soul. The light, you know, and here the man says, you know, enlighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Amen. So this is just an appetizer, just something by the side. Let's go to 1 Samuel 31. I think 31. Go back to something that has to do with our text. 1 Samuel 31. I'm continuing from where Governor stopped in the morning. You know, David and Saul had something going. Saul was after David, and he went over to the, because he felt that Saul was coming after him. He said, look, if I don't do something, my life is going to go. I have to do something. And he went to the camp of the Philistines, and they were going to go to war against Israel, and they said, this man is Saul's servant, he's not going to go with us. And that was God's deliverance for him. They took him out. But of course the Amalekites came in 30 and plundered his camp and carried away his women and all the people there, destroyed it and so on. But that's not my interest. My interest is in 31. Chapter 31. If you read verse 8 to 10. 31, 8 to 10. It says, and it came to pass on the morrow, when the Philistines came to strip the slain, that they found Saul and his three sons falling in Mount Gibeah. And they did what? They cut off his head and stripped off his armor and sent it into the land of the Philistines round about to publish it in the house of their idols and among people. So there is something about the Philistines. There were 5 lords of the Philistines. And those 5 laws represent the 5 senses in the body. There were 5 laws of the Philistines, and they represent the 5 senses in the body. We have to bring it to the body. We have to relate it. Because that is the only way it can make a meaning. And it's part of the reason why we have lost, the excitement in the church is gone away because it's academic. The New Testament is about the body. It's about soul. It's about the spirit. That is the new temple. Alright? And that is God's interest. So if you want to build, if you want God to build, to be interested in what you're doing, you must talk about the body. You must talk about God's interest. Alright? And Jesus told them that the temple that is of any meaning now is the temple. He says, destroy this one that took 46 years to build. Destroy it, and in 3 days, I'm going to raise a new temple. And he said, he was speaking of the temple of his body. Right. So, as you look at yourself, you are the temple. So, when he speaks about the Philistines, the Amalekites, all those names you hear, Midianites, they're good. They're just types. That is a way of God speaking to you about what is happening within you. So I would draw a pyramid. Well, not a pyramid, something like a mountain. I call it the mountain. All right. At the tail end, at the first level, I have eternity. God deals with eternity. We deal with time, but God deals with eternity. And the Bible says there is a priesthood that is without beginning and without time. Isn't it also? Good. So that is really what you should be interested in, because that's what God is saying. Because God is building a house. The house is building, it's an eternal temple. Amen. Now, on top of that, God has a man. On top of that. And in this man, the most important part of the man is the soul. Important part of man. Man has three dimensions. Has the spirit, has the body, has the soul. And the most important part of man is the soul. And this soul has four components. The mind, the emotion, Alright, I wish someone would ask me, how do you know that these are the four components? Because we have to prove it to you. Now, the chief part of the soul is the mind. This is just basic. If you have questions, we can take it, because I'm jumping because of time. Now, so this is the way that God deals with you, and this is what the devil knows, and how he comes at you, and how he comes to me. So the chief part of the soul is the mind. The mind has four ends: knowledge, understanding, the second one, and part of understanding is intellect. The nature. What we're describing are nature. And later on I will explain that further. And then the third part is wisdom. And then the last part is conscience. The chief part of the mind is the conscience. So that's the next level, conscience. And the conscience has different dimensions. I won't go into that now. But the chief part of conscience is what is the last one. It's what they call the loins of the mind. The loins of the mind. Now, the mind let's look at, for instance, you look at the scripture like Romans 8. Romans 8 tells us, it gives us two dimensions of the mind. It talks about the carnal mind and the spiritual mind. Is it not so? Okay, so it says if you are spiritually minded, it's what? Life. But if you are carnally minded, it's what? Death. Okay, so the mind is a bridge. The mind is a natural altar. The mind is the place where the heavens and the earth meet. So if you wanted to build an altar, you couldn't build anything better. If you wanted to build a church, you couldn't build a better church. So there's no point in trying to reinvent the wheel. God has already built his church, and that church is within you. Amen. Because it's the place where the heavens meet the earth. And it's right. I'll show you why. The mind relates to the spirit of man. Let's look at the scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 says, what thing knows the things of a man except what? His spirit that is in him. Is it not so? He says, what thing knows the things that are of God except what? The spirit of God. So the spirit of God knows the things of God, searches the deep things of God. And the spirit of man does what? Knows and also searches the deep things of man. So you have a spirit in man, and then you also have the spirit of God. Okay? Now, look at the scripture like Proverbs 27:7 says, there is a spirit. Okay, well, I'm quoting Job 32:8. It says, there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of God does what to it? Gives it understanding. Amen. So, looking at that scripture, you can learn many things, but one of the things is that you have understanding and you receive understanding. Don't you understand? You have understanding and you receive understanding. Alright? You have wisdom, you also receive wisdom. So if a man lacks wisdom, what should he do? He should ask of God and he will give him wisdom. Now, if you go to, I'm sorry, my message has turned upside down, so I'm throwing away the thing I gave you. So if you go to James chapter 4, he talks about two types of wisdom. All right, he says this wisdom is what? Carnal and sensual, and what? Devilish. Which wisdom is that? He says where there is what? Strife and contention, there is what? Every evil word. It is wisdom. Strife and contention are wisdom. Amen. But what? What? Okay, yes. James 3, yes. You know? So, strife and contention, a life of strife and contention and quarreling and bitterness, hating, backbiting, what is it? It's wisdom. But it is carnal, earthly, devilish wisdom. So this wisdom does not come from above. Okay? Then he says, there is a wisdom that comes from above. What is it? It is this wisdom descended on her. But verse 17 says, but the wisdom that is from above is what? Here. It's what? Peaceable. It's what? Gentle. Easy to be treated. Full of good fruit. And so on. So there are two types of, in fact, rather three types of wisdom. There is the nature of wisdom that God gives you. Now, unto that wisdom, you can add wisdom from above, or you can also add the carnal, earthly wisdom. Amen. Say amen. Okay, we will go to the scriptures and you will see. I'm jumping the gun. I'll try to, because we're talking about recovery of the mind. Recovering that which has been lost. And not just to recover, but to build it. You know, because there's a reason why you must have wisdom. Somebody said, by wisdom, what do you do with the men depart from iniquity? Now, some of us, we today we rise, tomorrow we fall. The reason why we are not overcome is what we do not have wisdom. Amen. And he said, with all you are getting, what should you get? Get wisdom. Because wisdom is what is going to help you to overcome the strange woman. Alright? Wisdom will help you overcome. So let me jump again. Let's go to Revelation 14. Revelation 14. In Revelation 13. Okay, Revelation 13 talks about the beast that came from the earth and the beast that came from the sea. Remember, it was who was it? Joseph, somebody who divided the scriptures. Jerome or somebody. It was one prose written. They didn't have chapter. The man who wrote it didn't put chapters. He just wrote what God gave him. Alright? Now, go down. Okay, go to that verse 1. I'll point out something. He says, they had their father's name written where? The 144, those who overcome, the thing that makes you overcome is the mind. Alright? Now, the church has lost the battle up until now. Because I don't believe we have still lost the battle. I believe the battle is done. Say amen. Why the church has lost the battle is because the devil distracted us. Alright? Because see, the key is the forehead. The father's name is in the forehead. So God is interested in your mind. The forehead is the prophetic word for the mind. Alright? So when you have a man's mind, you have delivered the man. And if you look at, I'm sorry, I'm jumping around. You are free to stop me and ask me, because the man says I must stop by 5 o'clock, so I'm having this today, you know. So I'm talking about the mind. I'm trying to say that the mind is the chief part, and I'm trying to impress on us the importance of the mind. Alright? And he says this 144, that they had their father's nature. Mind means nature. They have the father's nature written where? In the mind. Okay, let's look at another scripture. Ezekiel 8. Ezekiel 8 talks about the temple, isn't it? Not? And in that temple, they had all manner of things, four-footed creatures and things on the walls and all the things they were doing. And in Ezekiel 9, it says, Go and mark. Go to the house and mark. And what do you mark? He said you mark with an ink horn. That speaks of the word. Okay, you mark with the word. He said, go and mark all those who are crying and weeping and sighing. You know, in the, and the man began to go through and began to mark. And if you look at Revelation 7, it said there was an angel that was coming from the east. And he was going to seal the servants of God in the mind, in their forehead. There's a sealing. The sealing must be in the mind. Okay? Now, the reason is that someone has gone ahead to the mind. Alright? The problem of Eve was that the devil went to her mind and marked her. Amen. And sealed her in the mind. Amen. So anything you do, anything I do without addressing the mind, will not recover all. Amen. Okay, you're not convinced. Alright, let's look at Hebrews 8. You can write down the scripture. Remember I said you asked me a question. Hebrews 8. Hebrews 8 verse 8. Like I said, we are doing Bible study, we are looking at the scriptures, breaking open the scriptures, you know, we are trying to say, why is the mind important? Now it says, for finding fault with them, he said, behold, the days will come when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel So if you come to this my board, if you come to my chat, all right. God was dealing with Israel, but he was dealing with. In fact, this my chart is not really complete, but there is something here. There is something in between. The Old Testament. You know, you had the cement, you had brick, limestone. Okay, there was a temple made with brick, limestone, wood, different kinds of things. All right. And they say it was the biggest temple in Jerusalem. But it was, Jesus told them, a time is coming, not one stone will stand upon another. Everything is going down, will be destroyed. Because it was just temporary. It's not really what God was after. All right. So in the Old Testament, you had a priesthood. But that priesthood was not, there was a priesthood before that one. You understand? Adam had a priesthood. Enoch had a priesthood. Abraham had a priesthood before the covenant that God made. Alright? And after the Old Testament is taken away, there's a priesthood that continues forever. So the Old Testament that had to do with physical temple was just a temporary thing that came in. So before it, there was an eternal priesthood that continues forever. So that's why I put this eternal, this eternity, which is actually the priesthood of Melchizedek. So the basic priesthood is the priesthood of Melchizedek. That is the eternal priesthood. Alright? But Galatians tells us that before Christ came, there was a schoolmaster. The law was brought in temporarily to keep things going until the time of maturity. Alright? And right now, that time of maturity has come. So that's why he says, finding fault. God found fault with the Old Testament. And in the Old Testament, you have to have a physical temple. You have to have a priesthood. You did all those orders. All right? Those things have been done away with. So he says, I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand and took them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant and I regarded them not, says the Lord. He said, but this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. So what is this new covenant? Can we read verse 10? He said, I will put my law in their what? Their mind, and I will write them where? In their heart, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. So, just touch on the interlinear. Stop here. Touch on it. Touch on that word, nomos, my Lord. Yes, that one. Yes. Okay. So I will put my laws where? In your mind. That is the new covenant is about the mind. We agree. If you don't agree, I will go further and prove it again. Alright, so if you agree, then you resist me and move forward. The new covenant is what? About the mind. The new temple is about the mind. Now, the devil tells us the new temple is, all kinds of. This house can never, is not the temple of God. Okay, we're hiring it. Even if we built it, it could not be the temple of God. Amen. It is only a platform. It's only a shade. So she does, it's so cold outside. And, you know, when we are here, we have shade. Alright? So, one of the things I'm hoping we can deal with, we can shed, is part of the recovery of the mind. Mentality. Brother Kuma was talking about it yesterday. There is a mentality that we have. And that mentality is part of the reason why many of us are captives. That's number one captivity we have to deal with. That church is when you come to a building. Okay? That the temple of God is four walls, maybe whatever you call it, a house fellowship. maybe a sitting room or a long hall. That's part of the mentality we need to take away. God wants to recover our mind. And what is that recovery? That I am temple of the living God. Amen. So if you wake up in the morning and I used to do it. I wake up in the morning and say, well, I am the temple of God. You know, when I walk a few steps, I tell myself again, I am the temple of God. So the temple of God is walking along the street. Try to do it. Because it creates a consciousness in you. Alright? Because see, if you know that you are the temple of God, many things will automatically drop. You understand? Yeah, it will affect your whole reason. And let me tell you why it will affect you. Look at it. Let's go back to that word, nomos. Nomos is a Greek word. Okay, let those who did literature, you know what they call anomy. What does anomy mean? Lawlessness, disorder, confusion, crisis. They say a state of anomy. That means every man does whatever is in their heart. You know what you have in the church? Freedom. Just do it. Nike. You know, if you want to marry, before women want to marry themselves, their husband and wife. And here around you guys now, there are some things people are now exporting homosexuality all over the world. Okay? That's part of the anomy. Don't you understand? And the problem is in the British mind. Okay, now they are so proud that they used to spot Bible many centuries ago. Now they are so good that they are spotting homosexualism all over the world. Something has happened. Don't you understand? So God says, I will put my law. Now, what is law? Law is personality. Law means my person, my nature, my principles. So God says, I'm coming into your mind. I am coming to. And who is I? God says, God is light. And in him is what? No darkness at all. Don't you understand? Well, God is invading you. And if God is invading you, he's going to break through every barrier. Amen. So I can't say that I'm coming to God and then I'm putting up barriers. You can't have any barriers because the law means culture. You know, so culture is the way of life of a person. That's culture. Alright? Uh-huh. If a man is a murderer, everything he does every day, he kills people, that is his culture. He kills people. Alright? That is his lifestyle. God has his own lifestyle. I said, I will put my lifestyle in your mind. Hallelujah. So, if you wanted to change, bring your mind. Say, God, take my mind. Put your law. Hallelujah. So, it is an active relationship. Like some people were saying tonight. Some people say, do nothing. They say, do nothing syndrome. Okay, if you don't do anything, that means you're not offering your mind. By the way, if you do not offer your mind, that means you are offering to something else. Because you've got to serve somebody. Amen. It's either you serve God or mammon. If you reject God, you've accepted darkness. By the way, the mind is already in darkness. Alright? But the devil tells us that no, nothing, you know, that yeah, okay, so if you reject God, then you are hot or you are cold. Light that has darkness is darkness. Isn't it not so? Light that has darkness is what? I say God is light and in him is what? No darkness at all. So you see how far we have to go. Amen. And so this is the new covenant. Say, I will write my law in the mind. Hallelujah. That is it. So say, this is the covenant. Look at this. They say, I will put my laws in their mind and write epigrapho, means to inscribe. Alright? Somebody is a graduate. For 5 years, you don't have a job. God is engraving his law in your mind. Don't you understand? Yes, he's making an impression on you. You know, you have you have the capability to do so and so, yet you don't have that job you're looking for. So you have to go to God. God is dealing with you. He's engrafting, he's making a mark in you. Hallelujah. So the experiences of life is part of receiving the law. I thought you would say amen. That is the experience of life. So whatever happens to you is part of that engrafting. To override. To erase the program and put a new one. Amen. So again, it is active. So somebody cannot tell you, say, you must do something. Amen. You must erase the old program and install. Remember, they will say, when it is time to install, the brother said, when you get a new program, you run it. He says, click one, install, delete, or he says, install. Then, even at the end, he says, if you really want us to install it. It will show you another page. You really want me to install it? You will do that for 5 times before you finally install, because when you install that program, it's not going away. Amen. If you get a not too security, if they got into your computer, they're not going out. So they will make sure to try you. That's why God takes you through many experiences. You know, through different kinds of experiences, just to make sure that you have chosen to receive life. Amen. So you go through different situations. So this is the new covenant. And the new covenant is dealing with the mind. Alright, let's read down. Okay, that's the much I want to take from this. Go to Hebrews 9. Now, it says, No. Yeah, Hebrews 10. Say, for the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never, with the sacrifices which they offered year by year in the Old Testament, make the commerce thereunto perfect. Alright? Now, verse 2 says, for them would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers, once purged, should have had no more conscience of sin. The problem was the conscience. You understand? So that brings us again back to this. Remember, the chief part of the mind. So the mind had the conscience, who had a problem with sin. There was the conscience of sin. And the Old Testament could not address it. And you must understand, when you talk of fellowship, any relationship with God that does not go in to address the mind, it's the Old Testament, it's just ceremonial. Okay, so somebody, let's make it practical. Someone is, you know, you are relating with God, you come to fellowship, but your mind is at home cooking food. In the Old Testament, it's just ceremony. Alright? Because you are not giving, you are not bringing the offering. The man that must be, that needs to touch God is who? It's the conscience. It's the mind that must touch God. If your mind is not touching God, you are singing a song and your mind is not there. You are just mouthing words. It's just empty. And that is why the young people, have a challenge. Now, my children tell me, they say, don't make a rule. Because when you make a rule, we won't accept it. I say, fine. I say, you must tell us why you make the rule. So I want to tell you why you make the rule. So that you will accept it. Now, what is the internet? The internet is mind joining together. The information superhighway, it is mind, the global energy in the mind, rubbing. You understand? So when you click, open your email, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, blog, page, and vlog, all those things. When you get there, are you listening to me? When you open those things, you are opening your mind to another mind. You are in, you see, it is the mind, you are joining your mind to another mind. And the Bible says that the carnal mind is enmity against God. It is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Amen. So it is a fellowship of mind. And you must know that the mind is a high thing. And the mind must be tamed. Amen. And that is the purpose of the New Testament. It says, I want to put my law in your mind. If I have your mind, then I have you. If I don't have your mind, I don't have you. So you cannot come to God, say you are worshiping God, when you haven't given him your mind. So he says, my son, give me your heart. Now, the heart, where is the heart? Where is the heart in this? You know, when you cut open somebody, you're not going to see anything, you just see body. Right? Because the soul is spirit. I hope you know, the soul is spirit. God has mind. God has emotion. God has desire. God has will. Is that so? Is that so, sister? How come, if God had those things, how come you also have mind? You have emotion. You have desire. You have will. Why? Because you are created in the image and basic likeness of God. Amen. You are created in the image and basic likeness of God. Because the likeness of God. Amen. So it's like you have, God gives you a land, piece of land. Build on it. Someone said, no, I'm not going to build on it. He took his talent and hid it on the ground. He said, when he comes, I'll give him back. Okay? So he came, he took, he said, oh, yeah, an austere Lord. He wants to profit where he didn't, so take back. Alright? Someone took his talent. What did he do? He multiplied it. So the soul you have, God just poured himself into you. Don't you understand? God breathes into man. That is Emmanuel. Don't you understand? It's Emmanuel, God in man. That's what it is. So you see, in the temple, Adam, the first Adam, how did he say, breathed into him, and man became what? A living soul. Basic. Living soul means basic soul. That basic soul can either go up in God and become a spiritual soul, or go down and become a dead soul. Amen. So, and there's a time limit that you are given, and that I am given to develop the land. Okay. When you buy government land, they give you 18 months to build a house. After 18 months, they take the land from you. Amen. Say amen now. Don't you understand? So God gives you land, and you come into the earth, you say you want to be a doctor like me, you want to be an architect. Know that you must develop your soul. Now, the mind can be carnal. Don't you understand? Now, there is a carnal mind. That's where I was going to. A carnal mind can learn geography. You can learn history, you can learn literature, you can learn accounting, you can learn computer like Boma. The carnal mind. The carnal mind, it knows everything around it, you can be educated in it. But there is a spiritual mind. Now, the spiritual mind is that part of the mind that is relating with the spirit. Alright? Don't you understand? And that is this realm, that is the realm of the mind, that is the loins of the mind. You say it is your unconscious mind. Yeah? You don't know what is happening there. But there is a conscious mind. Okay, example. If you touch your hand now, touch your hand. Just touch it. There are no problem. Just touch your hand. No, I don't have any problem. Just touch it. What do you feel there? The heart is beating. But when I'm talking to you, I'm not aware it's beating. Alright? So that God did it that way because you don't control beating of your heart. If not, someone said, I now want to die. Don't you understand? So God took it away from you. You don't have control over your heart. The heart will beat. It's only God that will tell the heart to stop beating. Don't you understand? So it is in the unconscious realm. So also the mind. There is the unconscious depths of the mind. But the devil has access to it. Don't you understand? That part belongs to the heavens. But do you know that something can happen and the unconscious part can overwhelm the conscious part, and you have a vision. You see God. So when you have a vision, it is the spiritual dimensions of the mind that has overtaken the natural mind, and you have a vision. Alright? Or if it is when you are sleeping, then you call it a dream. But there is a reality in the mind which the devil has been using, and he has prevented you from using. Say amen. Okay. So there is a spiritual mind. The spiritual mind is open to the realm of spirit. The natural mind is, you know, so when you talk about intellect, it's just there's a natural thing where you know things, you read books, you know. But there is the understanding that comes from God. And Bible says the fear of God is the beginning of knowledge and of wisdom. And it says by wisdom men depart from iniquity. Amen. And the fear of God, that is understanding. Amen. So, and you I cannot overcome unrighteousness and evil without wisdom. Because this wisdom says, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, and God will give him the wisdom. Okay, so this is just the basic aspect of this new temple. There is a new temple, and you are that new temple God is building. Now, this temple is in the body. The body is carbon, dioxide, hydrogen, and so on. He says, dust that out, and dust. So when the body is given to the soul, so that the soul can express itself through the body, and your soul is given to the spirit, so that the spirit of God can express itself through your spirit. You understand? The Bible says the light of the body is the eye. So what is the light of the soul? It's the spirit. It's the spirit that brings light and brings to the soul. Because Bible says that the spirit of man is what? Is a candle searching, giving light to the inward part, different dimensions of the soul. So this temple God made is a special temple, and that temple is you. You are special. And this temple has a particular design. If you want it to function, you must read the design. And you must use that design. Now, what is the design of this temple? The design of the temple is that the mind is the gateway for God to enter the temple. God enters the temple through the mind. If you block the mind, God cannot enter. And that is why the devil is investing in the internet. Because through it, he's blocking the minds of the people. So God cannot enter. All right, let's read the scripture. Ezekiel 43. So I'm trying to go to the second part of the thing. We're looking at how to open the mind. Because you must know how to recover the mind. Ezekiel 43:1. Afterward, he brought me to the gate, even the gate that looketh toward the east. So let's just stop there. Now, when he says east, what is the east? We have to locate the east. All right? But God has given us a location for the east. Please, just look, you will see the east. In the tabernacle of Moses, you have the east. This is east, west, north, south. Now, this tabernacle had an entrance, and that entrance is called the gate. And God said, when the people of God come, when the children of Israel come, there were specific locations which the tribes will stay. Amen. And there's a man called Moses. Say, Moses will stay on the east gate.
Yes.
Moses, his place of dwelling was the east gate. And there were a few other tribes. I don't have time to say. If you go to Numbers, it will tell you how. But the important thing is that there was an entrance. If you wanted to come into the tabernacle of Moses, you enter through the east, through this gate. And Jesus said in John chapter 10, say, I am the gate, I am the door. So the sheepfold. The robber, how does he go in? He comes through the doors, through other ways. And those doors are the eyes, the ears, the nose, the speech. Alright? One of the greatest doorways the devil uses is what? The eye. That's because it's the lust of the eye. That is one of the ways through which the devil has access to the soul. Alright? The God doesn't come into your soul through the eye. He comes in how? The presence of God comes into the holiest of all. Alright? And from there, he comes into the holy place before he comes to the outer court. So God comes from within. Amen. Say amen now. So if whenever the experience of God comes, he comes to the holiest of all, upon the ark. From there to the holy place, from there to the holiest of all. Now, your spirit and my spirit is for God. The devil does not have access to your spirit. He doesn't have access to my spirit. That is a constant thing. Amen. Now, there is only one person who has access to the spirit, is God. Because the Bible says, when a man dies, what happens to the spirit? The spirit goes back to God that gave it. Amen. The body goes down to the ground, and then the soul goes to God for judgment. Amen. So, the spirit belongs to God. So, if God comes to you, he's going to come through his spirit into the soul. That is the way. Say, thy kingdom come on earth. Thy will be done on earth as it is done in heaven. So God wants to come to you. He's going to come through the spirit. He will come to the soul before he comes to the body. So the body is the same thing as the outer court. The soul is the same thing as the holy place. And the spirit is the same thing as the holiest, the most holy place. I don't know I hope I'm not confusing you. Now, because we're talking of how do you open your mind. Now, if you want to walk in the spirit, you must walk in the spirit by opening your mind to God. Okay? Now, how can I open my mind when I just read the scripture, I enter my car, they ask you, what was the scripture you read? Forgotten where you read. How many people can remember the scripture they read this morning? No, thanks. If you read anyone this morning. Don't you understand where we are going to? So the mind is so busy. But that is the doorway. Alright? So that is when you say even the gate. And he brought me to the gate, even the gate that looketh towards it. And behold, the glory of the God of Israel came from the way of the east. And his voice was like the voice of many waters. And the earth shined with glory. Verse 3. And it was according to the appearance of the vision which I saw, even according to the vision that I saw when I came to destroy the city. And his visions were the visions down at verse 4. And the glory, I want you to mark this, and the glory of the Lord came into the house by the way of the gate, whose prospect toward. So the Spirit took me up and brought me into the inner court. And behold, the glory of the Lord filled my house. Hallelujah. I thought you'd be so excited. I want to tell you that the glory of God is coming back. That if you don't believe it, you won't have it. Remember that man, he says, by this time tomorrow, that wheat will become, he says, even if God did so and so and so, will it be? He said, fine. They will march upon you and they will go and get it. Don't you? That man didn't see. Now, some of us don't believe that there is a restoration of light and glory to the house of God. But I'm telling you, it is coming. Amen. I believe it. That the glory of God is coming back. But it says there is an order, every man in his own order. There is an order of resurrection. There is an order in which God is coming back to the temple. And that's why I brought up this picture. So, if you are going to come into the old temple, you enter from the east gate to the outer court to the holy place, to the holiest of all. That's the way man goes in. How does God go in? God comes into the holiest of all, into the spirit, into the soul, into the body. So that is the order of resurrection. Now, many of us do not have an understanding of this recovery. Now, so when he says pursue, overcome, what was it? You pursue, overtake, and recover. It may look abstract. For me, it's not abstract at all. It is a very practical situation. What is he saying? When you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, what is it that happens to you? You can tell us. Remember, it's an interactive class. When you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, what is it that happens to you in respect of this picture of the tabernacle? God came where? Into the Spirit. Is that correct? Yeah, people are not sure. When you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, what is it that happens to you? Okay, let's go one step further, backward. When you are born again, what is it that happens to you? Yes? When you are born again, when you are born again, you don't receive the Holy Spirit. Okay, the Spirit comes alive. What happens to the soul? What happens to the body? Okay. Let's go to the scripture to find the answer. All right, Leviticus 17. Leviticus 17. This is meant to just, give us challenges. So hope we can go to God and get the answers. Verse 10 and 11. The scriptures are very clear. Leviticus 10. I saw some people sleeping. Please, anyone sleeping by your side, just say to the person, say, Lord, and the person will wake up. Okay, and whatever man. Okay, go to verse 11. Please watch verse 11. For the life of the flesh is where? In the blood. Blood contains life. It says blood is thicker than water, is it not? It has life. So God put his life in blood. Amen. I have given it to you upon the altar to do what? To make an atonement for what? For the soul. For it is the blood that maketh atonement for the soul. So let's answer the question. When you got born again, what happened to you? What did you receive? This blood. Okay? So when you are born again, you receive blood. Let's draw another one. You receive blood. There's an altar. The first thing you meet in the tabernacle is an altar. This altar has four sides. Now, depending on the one you choose, all right? You can say this altar represents the soul. So it says the mind, the emotion, emotion, will, desire. So you're addressing the soul. Alright? So when someone is born again, his soul, you offer your soul to God. Amen. And what do they do with the blood? They put the blood at the four corners of the altar. And the blood makes an atonement. It brings a covering. Remember in Egypt, on that night, he said, you put the blood upon the lintel and upon the door post. So the blood comes in and quickens you. Now, when they have brought the blood, when you got born again, after 6 months, what is it that happened to you? So can you remember? After you got born again, after 6 months, what happened to you? After you are born again, you're perfect, isn't it? Then after 6 months, you find out that you are not so okay. Oh yes, you can. I'm happy that we're asking questions because this is not, I'm not preaching, I want to stay out the place and go and sit down. Yes. Yes. Yes, you can, better.
What happened
to you? Remember, the purpose of this is to recover the mind. Have that in mind, we want to recover the mind.
That's what happens when someone is born again.
Yes.
Someone says the Holy Spirit enters into you.
Yes.
It does know what happened.
No, I didn't say, let me correct myself. When you're teaching, that's not the main thing that happens. It's part of it. But you can see where you're coming. But I'm not saying the Spirit of God doesn't come, because the Bible says there are three that bear witness on earth. Spirit, blood, and the word. Those three, they bear witness. Those three things, they work to bring about the process of, or the beginning of salvation. So, yes. So there are three. If there are three things that work together. The Spirit. No, it was a clarification he wanted. So he's saying, the Spirit of God is not involved. And I didn't want him to land. I corrected myself before. So there are three that work together: the Spirit, the blood, and the word. Those three work to bring a witness of Christ, to plant that seed. Okay? And the question he's asking is very important, because if you look at Mary, say when Mary received the seed, is it not so? Mary is a type of your soul. Alright? So when you get born again, you receive a seed. And that seed is brought by the Holy Ghost. Amen. And the blood is also there, yes? I'm coming. And then the blood is also there walking. And then the Spirit of God. So those three things work to bring about a regeneration, a quickening. Alright? And this work does not finish the whole process of salvation. That's the point I wanted to make. It is just the beginning. Alright? Because the nature of the soul is not affected. It is just speaking. But let's have the question. Bro, yes, you want to ask? Yes. Yes.
At what point in the process does what's written in Ezekiel 36:26 take place?
Read it. Let's read it.
If I read from 25, it says, or from 24, it says, "For I will take you from among the nations, gather you out of all countries, and bring you into your own land. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit," small letter, "a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit," capital S, "within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them." point in the process
does
this? Yeah.
Amen. Okay, so let me answer it this way. You know, when you get born again, something happens to you. 6 months down the road, how do you feel? What's the experience? I'll answer your question, but let me answer it that way. So 6 months down the line, what happens? You got born again. It's all sweet, sweet, sweet. After 6 months, what happens? Yeah, practical experience. Yes?
Months after getting born again, there's a lot of change taking place in your life, because when you got saved, you became awakened to God, and then you begin to make decisions and choices. So lots of things are happening in your life very rapidly within a 6 month period.
Okay,
that's the best
you.
Way I can answer.
Okay, thank you. So it's good. Yes, I agree. Good. Yes. Okay, so let me summarize it. So whatever your experience is, you find out that you were suddenly awakened to a reality. But that reality did not bring perfection to you. Alright? You were just, you know, like she was saying, many things are happening. You find, you know, but you, down the line you still find out that there was still anger and bitterness and so on. So what does that mean? That means that when you receive this blood, there's a new spirit that comes in you, the spirit of God, you know, is quickened. Your spirit comes alive. All right? Because the blood and the spirit and the word, they all work together to bring the light of God in you, quicken you. You come alive. All right? And that is the experience. Remember, in the old covenant, it was just metal. But in the new, you are looking at your mind, emotion, desire, and will that are quickened. Now, if you transpose this and you write, mind, if you imagine you are dealing with the mind, so you are looking at your understanding, you are looking at the realm of your knowledge. You're looking at your conscience, and you're looking at your realm of wisdom. So something happens to you that brings about a quickening. But you find out that there's still a basic nature that has not been addressed. Okay? So the new covenant, that experience of the transformation, it's like someone, a light shining in a dark place that shines brighter and brighter until the perfect day is this soul must go through the veil. Alright? So you still have the same desire there, you still have the same will. You still have the same emotion, you still have the same, but now they have a new nature, the nature of the cherubim. Amen. So this is the process of recovery. Alright? This is the process of change that comes to you, because God is building a new house, building a new temple. You know, so if you want to recover mind, first thing is to open your mind to God. Now, how does God enter your mind? I only need to tell Priscilla to sing, "Oh, the blood." Something, you feel different within you, don't you feel different? As I have just said those three words now, there is something that has happened within you. What is it that happened in you? The Spirit of God starts flowing into your spirit. Amen. Don't you understand? The Spirit of God starts flowing because God comes to you through the words. God comes to you through words. Words. He says, "And the Lord spoke to Moses." Amen. Did you say he made Moses feel good? So God does not address your feelings. God does not come to you through your desires. He comes to you through the word. Amen. So if you want to open yourself, you must first of all open your mind. And one of the things, don't worry, I'm very happy the questions are coming. One of the ways to open your mind is through music. Amen. One of the ways to open your mind is through music. Remember, music is words that have song. Now, godly music must be focused on words. Godly music is words. Now, music that is heavy on metal, heavy on rhythm, appeals to what? Emotions, appeals to desire. And before you know what's happening, are you watching me, Julia? You said it like this. So when you're dancing, it is just you're addressing the emotion. Alright? The mind very much is still not, you know, it's not profitable. Alright? So God comes to you through your mind. And Proverbs say, guard your heart with all diligence. For out of it are the issues of life. So God comes to you with the word. Alright? Okay, question.
Wanted to add words that you receive by faith. If God comes to you, for example,
what do you mean by faith? I don't know.
When God comes to you through a word and He's telling you who you are, and you believe Him, that He has come to you, your heart has opened up to believe, because He said something, guide your heart, for out of it is the issues of life. And then how God can test that I really believe what He says. Because when God is speaking to you, He looks at you and calls you Zion. And then you look around, your five senses is contrary to what God is saying. And then you have the struggle of either believing what your five senses are telling you or believing the word of God. And then when you stand and believe the word of God, your heart has opened to receive the word. And then you become one with God in that word. That's what you said about, opening your mind. Okay. And then He says we should guard our hearts, for out of it are the issues of life. Then the devil comes to take that word which God spoke to you. And then if you're able to keep stand your guard, stand upon the word, because that a song says, by the word of the Lord we are made overcomers. By the word of the Lord we are able to stand. If this is a word that has entered into your soul and you believe in it and you stand by it. I was just thinking, I'm sorry, I'm just
no, it's
going on a bit further, but
no, it's okay. It's very much in order. Because we are speaking of How do you open your mind? How do you recover your mind? Now, if you this drawing, let me add something to it just to make it more exciting. The mind has emotion, the mind has will, and the mind has desire. Okay? Emotion has mind, emotion has will. Emotion has desire. So it is an endless realm. That's who you are. Amen. So there are many openings in you. Alright? And the devil knows that. Now, let's give an example. You say you want to fast. Alright? And you are in the bus and you pass through which one do you have there? You have okay, KFC. And what do you think will happen to that fact? So if the devil wants to speak to you, all he needs to do is to bring KFC to your nose. and automatically it's going to affect your mind. It's going to affect your will and your desire. And that's what happened to Eve. Huh? She saw the fruit. And he said it was good to be desired. So he ministered to her desire. And it is good for to make one wise. Alright? And what did she do? She decided to take it. And she got defiled. Now, the devil will not change this system. So, if you want to recover your mind, one of the first things you deal with is that you must dedicate your mind to the Word of God. Okay? Now, look at Psalm 1. It says, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, who does not stand in the seat, who does not stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of the gospel. Okay, good. But his delight, delight is the emotion. His delight is in the law of the Lord. And in it does he meditate day, and that's his mind. And in so doing, he will have prosperity. Amen. So, the devil is walking on this temple. Alright? The devil knows that emotion has effect on your mind. Now, all the devil needs to do is to get you angry. And the temple is, the door is shut. You can't hear God anymore. Amen. Say amen now. Or a young girl, one brother comes and say, I love you. I want to marry you. That's the end. The temple is closed. The temple is closed. Because that same brother, you see him go to another sister, I love you. And before she finished, she has told five sisters in fellowship, I love you. That's the end of the fellowship. Don't you understand? This is real. This is what's happening to us. Alright? Or you hear someone say, no, they said sister so and so is not my dad, she's a snob. And they say, I'm a snob. They are not Christians in that fellowship. Alright? So in other words, you find that the emotion is the lowest part of the soul. So if the devil wants to get you, all he needs to do is appeal to your emotion. Now, within you, some people are strong in their emotion. Some people have, while others are stronger in their desires, others are stronger in their mind, and others are stronger in their will. So, depending on your makeup, alright, no two people have the same constitution. Amen. But you see, those are natural. There is a pattern that he wants you to have, and that is the pattern of Christ. There is an emotion of Christ. There is a desire of Christ. There is a will of Christ. Amen. And there is a mind of Christ. Amen. This also is available to you. Amen. Now, how do you make the transition? Okay, I'll give you a scripture. He said, where with that shall a young man cleanse his way? How do you change your way? By taking heed according to the word. Now, let's go back to this. Now, when you look, I'm sorry, I'm almost finishing this. Okay, let me draw another one. Okay, let me put mind, will, and then let me put emotion, and then desire. So this is the cross. Huh? This is the cross. This is the cross. Amen. Now, if you look at the scripture, you see that there are three types of soul. Three types of soul. Now, if God will speak, if God enters your soul from the mind, in other words, the mind is the chief part. Okay, let's look at the scripture. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They will mount up with wings as what? Eagle. And we know that the mind represents the ego, you know. The ego represents the mind. It can fly away from God, or it can get lost in the heavens of God. Now, the ego operates with wings. That's what enables the ego. And the ego does not, what he does is to find, looking for the current. When you find the current, it flows with the current. Amen. Alright? So, the wing gives its ability to operate in the things of God, to be able to bring an offering and so on and so on. Now, the will is down here. And they have desire. And now, when you add desire and emotion, you get a new word called passion. And the Bible represents it with fat. Do you know what is fat? When you have fat, it sees of energy. Huh? Excitement. Have you, how many, when you cook, baby, when you are frying fat, that does it. Okay? How many people like excitement? Want energy. Asana. Mayu. Passion. And you know, everything about the internet is telling you about what? Passion. Passionate. Alright, if you are not passionate, you are cruel, dull. What word do you use? Boring. What's the right word? It's weird. Yeah, it's weird. When they tell you are weird, it means you are dull. You are dry. You don't have any passion. Alright? So, the whole world is ruled by passions. Check it. The thing that makes people excited is passion. So it's very easy. If you want to change your soul, watch your passion. And the greatest thing that the world has to give you is what? Entertainment. Entertainment is directed to passion. Passion, sports, different types. There are different types of entertainment. It's excitement. And that is what is making the young people, the whole world is so excited now, because the mobile phone has brought passion in a new level. Alright? You don't, television is obsolete. Because you design your own programs. Yeah, you design the programs you watch. You design the news you listen to. So now they have also changed, you know, programming has changed. I don't want to get into that. The programming has also changed, because they now realize that television is obsolete. If you really want to get the minds of people, you go to what they call social media. Is it not? Social media is the in thing. And the key of social media is what? Passion. Now, the carnal soul is ruled by desire and emotion. Spiritual soul is ruled by the mind. The spiritual soul is ruled by the mind. And I hope you can get the difference. Now, 1 Corinthians 15 says, as we have borne the image of the earthly, or the first Adam, so we must also bear the image of what? Now, the image of the heaven is not a mystical thing. It's not mystical, not an abstract thing. You say, oh, how does it look like? How did Jesus walk? Say, I always do the things that please my Father. How did he say? He was always hearing his Father. You know, so his mind was always tuned to his Father. So Jesus was ruled by his mind, not by his senses, not by his body. So if you want to be a spiritual person, you must be ruled by your mind. Now, the mind has so much power, okay, to rule and govern the different parts of emotion. Now, let's look at Proverbs 25:28. Yeah, you will see the pattern of a spiritual soul. And you and I can be spiritual. Amen. Don't let the devil tell you you cannot be spiritual. You can. You can. Amen. Now look at the scripture.
He
that has no rule over his own spirit. I don't have time, but you see, when you look at that word spirit, there are two words that are used to describe spirit in the Old Testament. The first one is ruach. The second one is nefesh. Ruach means spirit, but nefesh also means soul. Sometimes they use it to refer to spirit. Okay. Now it says, he that had no rule over his own spirit is like a city broken down without wall. Alright? So, if you say you want to be a son of God, a son of God must have authority, must have rule. The fruit of the spirit is what? Self-control. The control of my emotion, the control of my desire, the control of my will must be under my mind. That is the Son of God. Amen. Say amen now. Okay, let's look at Proverbs 16:32. He that is slow to anger. Where is anger? Anger is emotion, is it not? He that is slow to anger is what? Is better in the economy of God than the evangelist, than the miracle worker, than the power and miracle man. Don't you understand? So, Tony was saying, miracles are from God. And I have miracle every day. How about you say amen? I am a walking, living, talking miracle. Don't you understand? I don't look for miracle, it looks for me. Oh yes! I'm not looking for miracle, they look for me. I want something better than miracle. He said that he showed Moses his ways, but to the people he showed them his acts. So if you want the power of God, you don't need to do for the power of God. You are a living miracle. Look at your life. Your life is a living, walking miracle. If your life is not like that, then I don't know why you're in this room. This room is for those who are miracles. Amen. Say amen. Amen. Eh? And he that ruleth his spirit more than he that taketh his. Sons of God are those that have dominion over their head. Remember, he said Adam, he raised Adam, he said, till the egg, till the garden. The first Adam failed in tilling his garden. The second one is not failing. And we are part of the body of the second. Don't you understand? Because he said, he is the same spirit that was in Christ Jesus. He is the same spirit that is in us. So if Jesus overcame, then you have the authority to overcome. Amen. That is the spirit you have. That is the spirit is given to us. Amen. Someone said, no, a Christian can be angry. So you are angry, then you time the watch. You say the anger must not go down. The sun should not hit. So maybe it is 3 o'clock if it says, I need a better sun. Bible says Jesus is the Son of Righteousness. If that sun is shining, you cannot get angry. Don't you tell me. Amen. If the sun is shining, every darkness and the gloominess, he blazes it away. Don't you understand? Amen. So when the news comes, the sun is already up, so the anger cannot sit. Don't you understand? There's no need for emotion because the sun is always shining. Hallelujah. And Bible said that church, there's a church that is going to be clothed with the sun. That's where he's taking us to. So if you understand what the word is saying, we must have light. The soul is a darkness and must be enlightened. Alright? The soul is a darkness. And I want our young people to understand. You know, nobody is making rules and regulations for you, but it's out of love. Because the mistakes are made, I don't see why you should make that same mistake. Say amen now. Why should you make the same mistake I made? You understand? You have, in fact, you are born in Zion. You We just need to rise on our strength. Don't you understand? Amen. Now, let's look at Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4, 18. Now, look at this. It says, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. You know, the adverb and verb and noun and pronoun, you know, the combination is so strong, you know, so it sticks. So, but he's saying something that the mind is a dark place. Amen. And that is why in the tabernacle, when you come to the brazen altar, it's a place of judgment. You could not say that the man who is at that brazen altar has got everything there is to get in God. You know, like Brother Kupo was saying yesterday. Yes. You read the scripture that says, if any man be in Christ, it's a new creation. Yes. The creation is not completed. The creation cannot be completed until the mind has been redeemed. See, the mind must have a crown of 12 stars. Don't you understand? The mind must have a crown of 12 stars. Must have the nature of light. Because he that is joined unto the Lord is what? One spirit. The mind is the bride of Christ. How would you like to marry a man that doesn't understand the English you are speaking? He speaks English, he speaks Akwa Ibom. He speaks English, he speaks Russian. How is Christ going to marry a mind that is down? He said, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so am I what? Thoughts. So are my ways higher. Amen. Hallelujah. So the mind of man is down. So this mind is down. The mind is falling. That's why the emotions and the desire are ruling over the mind. That is the carnal mind. The carnal mind is falling. He cannot offer the emotion anything. He cannot, you know, the energy in the soul is in the mind. Don't you understand? And the way God made it is, the mind receives energy from the spirit, brings it to emotion. The emotion is excited in God. And the desire says, I want more of this. And both of them, with the mind, they command the will to say, you must always seek. You must always seek the presence of God. You say, in your presence, that's where I belong. You're excited. You want more of it. Isn't it not so? Good. Because the emotion has received a quickening from God. He wants more of it. I want more of you. Alright? It is it is the walking of the soul. Don't you understand? Now, the mind that is falling has nothing to do. So that's why I said the carnal mind is death. It's bound, you see, it can, it, and that's why when the mind is falling, say a broken spirit, that the bones, what does it say? You know, it's someone, a spirit that is broken, there is sickness in the body. And that's what happened to man. When Adam sinned, what happened was that his mind was detached from the heavens. Don't you understand? His mind was detached. There was a disconnection. Alright, the whole city fell into darkness. Can you imagine? Have you come to a town where no light at all? Everything is dark. That is the soul. Oh yes, everything is dark. Now, if the mind is detached from the heavens of God, the only light it can get is what? Is to look for light from the carnal realm. And the Bible, Jesus said, if the light that be in you is darkness, how great is it? In other words, darkness is light. There's an energy in darkness. Have you met somebody who is angry before?
There's energy.
Have you seen somebody who is filled with revenge? There is energy. Hallelujah. There's energy in darkness. When there is hatred, you understand, there's an energy. You are overtaken by the spirit. You want to revenge. You want to do this. You want to... Amen. Like my brother was saying, you know, David had the opportunity to discipline all those men who wanted to stone him. He was the commander in chief. The Bible says that he neglected. Do you know why? His emotions have risen. One of the reasons why we are not overcome is that our emotions are on the ground. And I want to encourage you. You must rise in your emotions. I am rising in my emotions. Oh yes. You must rise in your emotions. Do you know why? There is a flood from the mouth of the dragon. Have you stayed somewhere and you find thoughts in your mind? They hate me. They hate me. They hate me. They don't like me. They feel, nobody cares about me. Nobody cares about you. Are sitting there and there is war in your mind. Does it happen to you, Caroline? There's war in heaven. President, that's where we are now. And young people, unclean thoughts are being released upon your mind. Particularly after you watch that movie. You can't sleep that night. All the dreams you have about the movie you saw. Amen. Let's say, we have with us shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed according to the word of God. Amen. So we need to understand who we are, how God made us. The mind is the mouth of the soul. I don't know if you hear what I said. Your mind is the mouth of your soul. Mouth of the body, this one I'm using to talk. It is in the head. My mouth is not in my leg. Have you met anybody whose mouth is in his leg? Why is the mouth in the head? Why is the ear in the head? Why is the nose in the head? Why is the tongue in the head? There must be something about this head. I tell you, there is an inner mouth. God says God spoke. Does God have a physical mouth? God saw. Does he have a physical eye? God heard. Does he have a physical ear? All the things you see in your body are in the realms of the soul. Even your physical eye is connected to the mind. Don't you understand? There is an inner light. There is an inner hearing. And he says, I pray that the eyes of your understanding might be enlightened. Hallelujah. And when the church wakes up, and the church is waking up now, amen. So when the Bible says pursue, overtake, recover, God has some, or recover all, have something in mind. The mind that the devil has locked up in the temples of Dagon, they must be relieved. He says, can the prisoner of the mighty be delivered? He said, yes. Amen. God can deliver our minds. God can deliver our emotions. You know, some of us will come to church and we are blind. No excitement for God. You understand? No excitement for God. It's because the emotion is in prison. Amen. But that emotion can be released with God. Hallelujah. And you do that release by opening the mind. The mind is how the life of God comes into the soul. You must fight the civil war. Do you know the civil war? The civil war is to have a quiet time. A time when you open your mind, you read the scripture. A time when you wait on the Lord and God talks to you. Try it. You will find out that it is the most difficult thing to do. The devil can allow you to play the piano, cook and give to the brethren, bake cake, go and do shopping for the brethren, no problem with that. But when you say you want to wait on the Lord, that's when the civil war will be let loose. Amen. And I want to encourage you can win that war. Amen. Do you know how you win the war? They say you form a habit by doing something repeatedly for 1 week. I know it's 1 hour, but if you do something repeatedly for 1 week, you form a habit. You're on the way. When you do it for 2 weeks, it's established. Now, when you stop doing something, you also begin to break it down. Now, some of us have formed certain habits. All right? And our mind must always be fixed on something. I'll give you an example. My mind must always watch a program. When I'm even moving from this, there must be news, something must be playing. All right? I have to address that. All right? So look at yourself. What is your mind fixed on? What do you fix? What do you think about in your free time? What do you meditate? I give you counsel. Never leave your house without the scripture on your mind. That's one practical thing. Never leave your house. Each day you must have a scripture you are thinking of. Amen. Amen. And now it's so easy because you have your wall, you know, you have these earphones. What are you playing? What do you play in those earphones? You have the messages. You know, I didn't have time to read the scripture. It says, my son, give attention to the law of thy mother and to the commandments of thy father. What does that mean? The law of thy mother is the testimony of the church. That's the mother. Who is the mother? It's the church. There are so many brethren who have testimonies in tapes, websites, books. Give attention to it. Read it. Study them. How many Bibles? You know, get yourself involved in scripture related things. I say, give attention to the law of thy father. The things that God speaks to you, write it down. Have a book. Write down the things that God speaks to you. Write it down. And then you have time to study them. So, for we'll never look at our notes. The last copy conference, you have never read it. How will God speak a new one to you? When the one he spoke to you last year, you didn't hear. How will he get a new one? So, don't write the notes for nothing. On Sunday, make our time during the week. Study it. Amen. When you do that, you begin to fall into a rhythm. You fall into a pattern. And the mind begins to turn. As a medical doctor, the first time you get into school, your mind is not. But after many years of hearing the same thing, they teach you the same thing, different forms. After some time, you don't need to read because your mind is already trained in it. Also in the sense of God, when your mind stays on the word of God, so you will keep him in perfect peace. Whose mind is stayed? You can stay the mind on the word of God. So when you open your mind, the life of God flows into your soul. You get excitement in your emotion. Now, if you get excitement by a few young men running around a small round in the golf soccer, you get excitement. That means you are getting your energy from the. Let me understand. You can get the same energy by hearing God speaking to you. Even better. He says, that has put gladness in my heart. That means you can receive emotion direct from God. So you choose. How do you get your emotion excited? By seeing men running around. Or driving one metal thing painted black and green. One metal thing runs across. Say, this is a fine one. And you're excited. So God can show you a vision. The heavens, angels ascending and descending. It also excites your emotion. Amen. Sons of God are arising. I want you to understand, the sons of God are arising. And God is recovering the mind. You have to design what you want to do with your mind. Bible says, if you sow to yourself in righteousness, you will reap in mercy. If you sow bountifully, you will also reap bountifully. Amen. The soul is the prize of God. Soul is the center of everything that God is. It is the temple of God. It is the center of the new covenant. And I can't see how you could do anything else without addressing it. You know, so far when we look at the tabernacle, it looks so dull, but we didn't even have time to get into it. When you transpose the tabernacle into yourself, and you walk in it, you will see that the whole thing becomes exciting. The lampstand and the table of shewbread are all dimensions of the enlightenment of the soul. The soul must be enlightened. There are seven lamps of fire burning, is it not so? And Isaiah tells you that there are seven spirits of God. Alright? Even in the first experience, it's a light that comes to you. And Austin Stark says, anything that is not of God, that is not based on Christ, will be destroyed. I want you to understand that. There's only one thing that passes the test, is Christ. If everything I have been saying here is not motivated by Christ, it's a waste. Make a practice of never doing anything unless it is coming from within you. That's it. I don't know how to say it. Don't take any action that is from outside, that is motivated by what you see in your environment. Any action that is not motivated from what is coming from within you, throw it away. Amen. There is a living Christ within you. There is a living vision within you. There is a living reality within you. And there is a living kingdom within you. That kingdom is growing. It says he is the true light that lightens every man. You know what? When man comes into the world, it's darkness. Everything is darkness. But when that light comes, it begins to shine. It begins to grow. And you said that Jesus was transfigured before them. You understand? There was when they saw him, he was like an ordinary man. But when he began to unveil himself, they were shocked at the amount of light that was in him. But let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father. Also, it starts saying light is transparent. You know, when we talk about light, we are talking about something mystical. Light means transparent. Are you transparent? Am I transparent? In my thoughts, in my actions. When I say sister, God bless you, is there transparency in my heart in saying that? Amen. Bible says love without dissimulation. That's your real. No masquerade in fellowship. You know no masquerade in fellowship. If I have masquerade, that means there's no light. I'm walking in darkness. I say, God bless you, but I don't really mean it. That is not walking in the light. Amen. So he is the true light that lightens everybody. He says, in light, do you see any darkness in light? Nothing can be hidden in light. It's open, plain. You know? Light is plain. Light is true. Light is pure. Light is, you know, it's so sure, it's alluring. There is nothing hidden. There is no darkness. Light is simple. It's not complicated. Amen. So walk in the light. Amen. Because we are walking in him, because he is the true light. Amen. So, brethren, we are called to that light. And that light is inward. It's a light. Now, when that light shines, see, the light shines in darkness, and the darkness cannot stand. Amen. Light will always overcome. Amen. Light will always overcome darkness. Amen. No matter how much darkness tries to put it, light will always and it's a higher than. So you dwell it in the light which no man. Man is dark, so man can't come to it. Amen. But he's taking us. You know, say they that be wise shall shine forth as the stars. Amen. They that be wise shall shine forth as the stars. The stars have a light of themselves. If Christ is in you, then you are a star. Don't you understand? And the stars are fixed in the heavens to give light to the whole of humanity. So he's making us to be a body of light. Amen. And the Bible says one star differs from another star in glory. So is the resurrection. Amen. Now, if I overcome, I'm only overcoming for myself. Amen. If we deny him, he cannot deny himself. So when they say overcome, they say, no, I don't want. It's your choice. Because where a tree falleth, what happens to it? Yeah, it shall lie. Hallelujah. So you and I have the choice to create ourselves. We are finishing the product for God. Amen. Remember, he has given you a land. still determine of what measure it's going to be, 30-fold, 60-fold, or fullness. The fullness means there's no darkness at all. You know, 30 means some light, but a lot of darkness, you know. 60 means a little darkness, but a lot of light. Amen. But there is 100%. There is no darkness at all. Amen. So, in your emotion, in your desire, in your will, there are darkness. Don't you understand? You know, there are spirits that are hiding in my emotion. As I'm talking to you now, there are spirits. There are wrong attitudes I have. There are wrong emotions that I have. That I believe that by tomorrow they will not be there. By the following day they will not be there. Amen. Because the light shines in darkness. And every day is becoming brighter and brighter and brighter. Amen. I cannot be a better brother than last year when I came. Tokumbo, you heard also? I'm more quieter now. I'm not disturbing you. Amen. Hallelujah. That means the light is shining brighter. Don't you understand? So don't judge a man by what happened last year, because this year he has moved forward. Hallelujah. Amen. We are moving forward, brethren. And we should be a people of the light. You see, and light, if a man loves light, he will come to the light. You know, if a man is darkness, he runs away from the light because his works are evil. Amen. So we are children of light. We should love to be transparent. If I say yes, my yes should be yes. If I say no, my no should be no. See, let your yea be yea, and let your nay be nay. Amen. If I say, sister, God bless you, I mean I've really blessed you in the name of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. And you see that there is authority with us. You know, when you pray, God will hear. Amen. So there is a church that is rising. Don't be in that company that says, no, the church is never do well. No. Church is rising. Amen. We are recovering all. Oh, hallelujah. And the first thing we want to recover is our mind. Because when we recover our mind, our emotions will have life. Our desires will be changed. Amen. Our appetites for God will change. We'll be like the cherubim. The cherubims never get tired of God. They are focused. Hallelujah. They want God. The more God they give them, the more of God they want. Amen. They want God to get more of God. Amen. And the only thing they do is to say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. Amen. Their appetites are insatiable. Amen. They ever seek God. They ever love God. In fact, they get energy. The more life they have, the more energy they have in the things of God. And brother, I believe that's where God is taking us to. It's not a mystical thing. It's not abstract. It's real. And he has given us a pattern, a man called Jesus. Amen. Jesus, who is called the Christ. I say, in him is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. That's Emmanuel. And the same God he has is the same that you have. Amen. Don't you understand? The same spirit that was in him is the same spirit that he has given to us. And we are coming into that time when the sons of God will manifest on the earth. Because darkness is growing. I was just saying for God that, you know, the Islamic thing is the sixth trumpet. I hope you understand what the sixth trumpet is. The sixth trumpet, it says the people are coming from the Euphrates. All the countries under the influence of that river, spiritually and physically, they are going to trouble the world. They are going to take peace from the world. They are going to destroy the world. Western Europe, Africa, America, Asia, they're spreading. And by then, a third of the world will be killed. Don't you understand? Bomb blast, suicide bombing, all kinds of things. It is prophesied already. And the target is the church. This kidnapping, to test of them, we are Christian girls, you know, in Nigeria. And I was talking about, you know, somebody talked about the blood moon. 1 week after the first blood moon, there was crisis, and that crisis in Nigeria has brought a global dimension. Don't you understand? So I just believe it's part of that blood moon. But the thing is that the world has turned a new corner. things are not like they were before. The church must get up higher. Don't you understand? We must climb higher. And in climbing higher, the first place to address is the mind. If you win the battle in the mind, it's over. If you win the battle in your mind, if your mindset is in the heaven, then you already have a head start. And the Bible said that when that flood came, the woman was given the wings of her ego. What is that? That's the mind. In Revelation 12, the woman was given the wings of her ego, and she climbed higher. The thing that makes you climb higher is the word and the spirit, the lampstand and the shewbread. You understand? You enter the holy place through the mind. Did I say it again? You enter the holy place by your mind. When you open your mind, it takes you in. Amen. And you begin to open your soul. You begin to walk in a higher dimension. Because the outer court is going to be destroyed. Everything in the outer court is gone. The church in the outer court has no answer. Cancer, diabetes, hypertension, all kinds of things are happening there. But when you move beyond, you open your mind, you begin to receive a higher energy. The body will be responded and saved by the mind. You understand? When your mind is beginning to receive energy from the light of God, then that body will begin to change. That body becomes spiritual. Don't you understand? The salvation of your body depends on what happens to your soul. So the more your mind rises, the more your body will begin to change. You don't need the Avon products to make your body remain fresh. All you need is the presence of God. Amen. So the more of the life of God that comes into you, the more your flesh will begin to have more oil. It will begin to respond to Holy Ghost power. Don't you understand? So don't waste too much time with Avon products. Waste more time in the presence of God. They that will... Spend more time. Okay, spend more time in the presence of God. So we are encouraging ourselves, brethren, let's change our habits. Let's change our lifestyle, our priorities. Because the salvation of the body depends on what happens to my mind. And the Bible says we have the mind of Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Don't let anybody tell you cannot have the mind, that you can have it. All you need to do is just play that tape music. Your mind already starts opening up. And you go to the scriptures. And you fix your mind. The more you practice it, the more you become like it. The more you resist, the more you persist, the faster you can rise. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. I'm sorry I took some extra time. So if there are two questions, you can write them down and then maybe we can find some time later on to address the questions, any areas that are not yet satisfied.